scripture reading is taken from Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. And it reads as thus. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through them, through him.
Well, good morning, church family and friends. It's a great day, isn't it? Always look forward to Sundays, but especially on potluck Sundays. I don't know why, but today's a good day. It's always a good day when we come together as God's family, God's church, and come for one common purpose, and that is to worship and praise him, and to leave with a fullness that is God honoring. I think that's important. It's good to see my brother Wayne Nelson here. Great to see you. This is his, he's been with us in spirit, but today he is with us in spirit, body, and soul. He and Pat are dearly loved by this congregation and by us, by all of us. God has recently blessed us here at Mountain View with an influx of growth that others have worked on for a long time, and we seem to be the beneficiaries of this. Since September 1st until now, God has seen fit to bless us with well over 50 precious souls. And God has a reason for blessing us so. God has a plan. God has a purpose. Sometimes we don't fully understand how God is laying it all out. All we need to know is God continues to bless his church. And we should begin to respond to those blessings in every way possible. Several years ago, I happened to attend a funeral service of a young man who lost his life, and it happened to be not at a Church of Christ. It was one of those rare occasions where I sort of felt out of depth. I've been to Baptist churches, I've been to conservative Christian churches for similar events, even weddings, and sometimes to go and hear a missionary that someone thought I might be interested in being a missionary myself. This was at a Catholic church. I was raised hard-boiled and Presbyterian. But I had adoptive relatives who were members of the Catholic Church in Scotland. But this was in southwest Missouri, and I hadn't been to a Catholic service in a long time. I didn't much understand all of the liturgy that was going on, but there was one part of the service that it touched me, because I never thought I would be touched in such a way, is at the conclusion of the funeral service, the priest stood up and he said some things, and then he said to the congregation, "I love you with the love of the Lord." And they all turned to whoever they were near, right or left, front or back, and said the same thing. It touched my heart. It impressed me that even with a church that I had quite a wide range of opinions on, that those words were not so much Catholic as they were touching words expressed to those that were there that day. In Romans chapter 16, in verse 16, there is that mysterious little phrase about greet one another with a holy kiss. Not sure about that. I guess it's tantamount to the interpretation that I heard that day. I greet you, I love you with the love of the Lord, and you say it back to your neighbor. The holy kiss, I believe, was a literal one. So the young people would be pleased to know that there was a sanctioned PDA in the New Testament church. It was a holy kiss. But I'm not sure exactly how it operated. I had an experience of that in Lille, France. I was from Scotland, of course, and my traveling companion was my co-worker, soon-to-be co-worker in Northern Ireland, and we were raised similarly. After the church service was over, we got the holy kiss. It wasn't so much that the women of the congregation were hugging us, but you know, when the men started to do it to the man, you know, as if we were getting the Legion of Honor. Full on the cheeks, I recoiled. Men don't show such affection that way. It's, you know, a slap on the back, or a or the nook. Hallelujah. I'm saying all of this to get to where we've started. There was something in the early church that covered a multitude of people's sins. That doesn't mean to say that they ignored them, but that their love for one another spoke volumes to a world on the outside looking in. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13, I've touched on this before, but the reason I want to touch on it again is because of this, an occasion here at Mountain View over the last few months that we have seen an explosion of growth of people coming and wanting to be identified with the church here at Mountain View, the God's family here at Mountain View, and wanting to become fellow servants and partners with us in the living of the gospel, besides the preaching and the teaching of the gospel. I think when you live it, whether you ever preach a sermon or you ever teach a class, there is a certain amount of preaching and teaching that goes on because of our living of that. Paul concludes his remarks about the way of love, what love is, what is not. And it's something that permeates, that runs through, courses through the lifeblood of the early church. And I think they got that from their understanding of Jesus, from their association of Jesus, from their walking with Him, either physically, literally, or virtually, in the sense of they embraced His teachings, they embraced Him, and they were digesting it, ingesting it, and they were sharing it. He says in the 13th verse of the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, so what it all boils down to, he's saying, so faith, hope, and love is what will still be there. It's permanent. It's something that, after all the other things sort of run their course, and what he was talking about was the spiritual, miraculous gifts would run their course for a time, and then what would you be left with that would still be a lasting hallmark of who we are and who we belong to? I think it comes down to faith, hope, and love. He says these three, think of those three things, though, the faith, the hope, and the love. If you take away the love, if you take away that element, that part of the early church, which also should be part of us, because we are part of, we are His church. If you take away that love, all you have is faith and hope, a commonality that we share. We have a common faith and a common hope. But you know, what gives the faith and the hope the kick? What gives faith and hope something that speaks to the world is something that the world understands before they hear the faith and discover the hope. It is this love. Plato said, when two things are tried to be bound together, It becomes unsatisfactory until there is a third. I think faith and hope, if they are to be entwined together, are made stronger and satisfactory to God because they are bound with love. Not any kind of love, but we call it agape. It rises above all the other loves that are out there. It's the kind of love that allows us to make room in our hearts for one another, to make room in our homes for one another, to make room in our hearts for a stronger and a greater fellowship here at Mountain View. So let's go back to our text, will we? I know I'm not going to get this done in a day and a dinner. And then after we get done, I want to tell you I'm going to Ephesians 4, all right? Just so you know, you have been warned. In verse 10 of Colossians 3, he's just talked about what happens when we put on a new self. That's talking about our baptism. That talks about our entrance into the kingdom. That talks about being added to the church because we've been saved, and that God puts his seal of approval on us and gives us his Holy Spirit. Okay? In verse 11 there, he says, you stop looking at people as ethnic groups. You stop looking at people as economic groups. Oh, they're on food stamps. They got lots of money. We stop doing that. In this family, we are one. In this family, we are together. There are no socioeconomic barriers or divisions. We've learned not to be deceitful and lying. We've chucked the old self and reached for a new self, courtesy of God through Jesus, renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator, God. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. I remember having a serious discussion when I was a student at Lubbock Christian College, not the university, but the college, back in those days when you could go to school for $19 an hour. Ooh, the good old days, huh? But let me remind you, $19 an hour still, when you considered you were making 75 cents an hour, it might have been $1,900 an hour, you know, trying to get some money to pay the bills and go to school. It's still as hard today as it was even then. But we had this serious discussion. I came into the cafeteria one day and I found that I had been made an honorary member of the Young Republicans. It was done without my consent or knowledge. No, it was probably because I was a big supporter of Toryism. We had this discussion, and it's sort of it was serious for a while, and then it degenerated. And the question was, will there be any Democrats in heaven? You know, as hard as I looked in my Bible, I couldn't find Republican or Democrat. He says, here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Having said that, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, put on a compassionate heart. Not being good just to those who are good to you. What was it Jesus said? You know, if your enemy is hungry, what do we do to him? We feed him. If he's thirsty, we give him something to drink. If he's naked, we give him some clothes. The world has a hard time getting its head around that. Because that's love in its greatest example. That's love coming out of the body of Christ. That's what gives us opportunities to talk about our faith and to give people a reason for the hope that we have. Because this love is intertwined with that and makes it stronger. What Plato was getting at. Two things together is not a good bond until there be a third which binds all three together in one. And so he says, you put on a compassionate heart, kindness and humility and meekness and patience, bearing with one another. I got to admit to you, sometimes I get a wee bit impatient. Can you imagine that? People can't get out of my way when I'm going somewhere fast enough. And I have to curb my enthusiasm in that regard. Jesus has taught me an awful lot about patience. After all, wasn't he patient for 3.5 years working with the 12 men? It's bad enough to try and work with one, but what about trying to figure out how to teach patience to a class of 12? And some of them who couldn't stay awake during prayer sessions, let alone teaching sessions or preaching sessions. Anybody asleep today? Can't see you. Frank, are your eyes open or not? Figured. And then it gets better. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving one another. Not offering forgiveness because they have crawled all the way to your door to ask for it. Forgiveness is something that should be freely given without condition. That's hard. But these are the things that bind the church to its fellow members, that we appear as one in Christ. I'll be done soon. Just hold on. I know, promises, promises. Forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. That's touching back to that, what we call the model prayer. If you don't forgive one another, do you expect God to forgive us? So rather than taking your offenses and sitting on it like a hen on an egg, you know, some people like to nurse their grievances. Don't nurse your grievances. Forgive. So that God would be glorified with your heart. And above all these things, put on love. And putting on love isn't a costume that you put on for special occasions. You know, some people dress up for a special occasion. Christian, put on love because it's something you shouldn't ever take off. Put on love. And there, Paul is touching on the same sense of Plato's word. This is what binds everything together. This is what makes the rope stronger. This is the bonds of love. This is the cords of the church, because that thread or string or whatever it is takes everything else, and as we twist it together, it becomes a single item. You take it away and it becomes weak and ineffective. Which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And so let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. We're not a whole bunch of separate entities. We are the one body. And be thankful. I love that. And be thankful. And so, you let the word of Christ soak in. The way he says it is, dwell in you richly. It's sort of it seeps into every part of us. You know, Paul talks, Steve, about, you know, being a foot, being a thumb, being a big toe, being all kinds of, that the church is one body but made up of many individual parts, fingers, thumbs, toes, rear ends, knees, soles, ankles, joints, ligaments, all of that put together makes a body. And nobody can pull out and say, stand over here, thumb, and say, well, I don't like the way the body's behaving, so me, the thumb, I'm going off and we're going to start the church of the first thumb. There is a story told of a man on a deserted island, shipwrecked there. And about 30 years on, a ship appears near the island where this man is. When they go to the island, they find out that he is, over time, he has built things, you know, and shelters and whatnot, and they were real interested. And just before he boarded the boat to go back to civilization, the captain says, I notice that those two buildings there have little crosses over them. What are those? He says, well, that one over there, he says, that's my church, he says, and that one over there is the one I used to go to. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. As we sing the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs with thankfulness in our heart, try to do that sitting on a gripe. Not a grape, a gripe. Try to to do that nursing a grudge. Try to do that bearing ill will. That's what drives man to leave one congregation and go to another sometimes. The faith may not have changed, the hope may not have changed, but there's something wrong. There's something about the love that's not there. Am I right? And whatever you do in word or deed, do whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Now, let's just take a quick look at Ephesians 4. I love Ephesians 4. Especially at the beginning. Now, in the prayer today, Matt's prayer, you mentioned unity. Paul says in Ephesians 4 and verse 1, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, I want to urge you to do something. I want to challenge you. You know this word urge? Is I want to really emphasize something that is very, very important. To walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. If we call ourselves Christians, walk and talk the same. Some people talk the talk or walk the walk, but you know, you have to walk and talk to give people a better understanding of what it is to follow Christ. He says, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, he says, with, and you do that with all humility and gentleness. Isn't this sort of a rerun of Colossians 3? With gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. One thing I love about this family is the absence of acrimony. Is the absence, as far as I am concerned, of backbiting. The absence of chips on shoulders. Personally, I'd rather have chips with fish. And I mean French fries. Big ones. Lots of vinegar. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body, just one body. One Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. That comes out as when we love one another like that. Jesus said, John 13, 34, 35, and the world will learn, will see, will understand that you are my disciples because of the way you love one another. When that comes out, that makes the one faith that we have more powerful. That makes the hope that we offer something that others want to have, because They see we have it. But it's because of the love that is intertwined between those two things. One Lord, one faith, the one baptism. The one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. I love that. God has brought a whole boatload of opportunities to this congregation. And you're already having an effect on my life. Not just the added responsibility that comes with an evangelist and trying to bring messages that reach deep into our hearts. It will challenge the leadership of this congregation like it has never been challenged before or in a long time. Those who have come from various places, not just a single location, but those who have come to Mountain View obviously believe they see something that is in us. I pray that others will continue to see this in us together. God has blessed us richly, hasn't He? And if we make ourselves humble to this, sky's the limit. Amen. Is there someone here this morning that not only hears the gospel but sees it? I hope that they see it in us, that the gospel is about Christ. The gospel is about repenting of our sins. The gospel is about making a faith confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. That we're not going to be mousy about it. Because the gospel, you know, when I think of mouse, I think of cheese, and the gospel is not cheesy or mousy. We got to roar like a lion. Let the world know that Jesus is King, and only Him is King. There's someone here that is ready to commit their entire life to Jesus in the waters of baptism, because God does His finest work there through Jesus by way of His blood for the remission of all your sins. There is somebody here that needs prayer, that needs fortification, needs understanding, needs to talk, needs some help, needs some advice. We're going to show you Jesus through the Bible. Come meet Jesus. Come meet the greatest need of your life, and that is Jesus. While together we stand and sing. When the singer...